Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 29th of September, recording at 8 o'clock p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. Now, stock markets generally pushed higher this week, pretty much across the boards. And this included the historic event of a new all-time high for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, although that's not all it might seem, if you have a look at the charts that I posted here today. But nevertheless, we don't want to begrudge a few celebratory poppings of champagne corks, in honor of the Dow's new high. And probably the most significant stock market development this week was the rebound in the commodity resources markets. Australia was a key example. Okay, and that's important because where most other stock markets had been ranging higher and testing their highs and moving above them, the resources markets were underperforming and rolling over, and they never broke down, but they needed a rebound, and as I say, they've seen it this week. And this is an important week for a number of reasons. That's one of them. Another important reason is this was the week where the much hyped and I think overhyped bull advance in government bond prices faltered. And I have maintained for about a week or possibly a little more that we had seen the best part of that move by far. And in other developments, nothing significant in the currency front except a little bit of easing of sterling as the expectations for higher rates began to fade. Dollar a little bit steadier this week, though. And the most important development, this is the week in which the oil price, the oil complex, almost certainly bottomed, with oil bottoming after that brief foray slightly under the $60 level. And it had an interesting day in here today, which I'll come back to, as it's still going on. And this was a week, well, I suppose this, yes, the second week perhaps that precious metals had steadied. It was also a period when the industrial metals remained remarkably firm, and we saw a somewhat better performance from the grain and bean complex, but nothing to write home about. Okay, where are we here in this cycle? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I think the move is on script. This looks very much like the ending of that predictable medium-term correction for 2Q and 3Q. And as 3Q ends, we're seeing an increasing number of breaks above the May highs by stock market indices. Most of the correction, as you know, occurred in from the May highs through the sort of mid to late June lows. And that decline was so sharp because of the tough talk from central banks on inflation. Humbug, of course, as I've said before, because it was the central banks that had created the inflation to begin with. But they feared that it was spreading into the public consciousness, so they took a tough stand and have been declaring a partial victory, predictably, recently. So, ending of that overall stock market cycle, October, well, people worry about October, and I suppose they always will, given that there have been two major Wall Street-led crashes. But, out of quite a few years passed between those, 1929 and 1987. And oh, I certainly don't expect any crash this October. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. Although we might see a little wobble, just as September's had a few little wobbles. But what's a little wobble? The market goes down for a few days before encountering support. I think the bulls are in control here. There's still plenty of liquidity sloshing around the system. The interest rates are not going to go up as high as people had feared, not in this cycle. They will in the next cycle, but not in this cycle. And let's enjoy the cycle we have before we worry about the one that lies several years ahead. So, rates don't go that much higher, growth isn't quite as slow, doesn't just slow down as much as people had expected, and actually, China and India continue to confound the skeptics in terms of their relatively robust GDP growth. The US gets a soft landing. That's the script that I envisage. And I would expect this generally good action to continue progressively throughout the end of this year. In other words, I think that stock markets will, on average, be higher at the end of October than they are at the end of September, and ditto for the end of November versus October, and ditto December for the end of November. And I expect a good year in 2007, and I think it'll run well into 2008. And yes, I do expect that there will be at least one medium-term correction, almost certainly two medium-term corrections, and that those will involve inflation fears. Okay. But overall, I think it's going to be a fair run for the bulls and that corporate profits will continue to be quite reasonable. Now, what sectors do I like the most here? Well, in terms of safety and growth potential, for me, it's got to be Asia. And I prefer developing Asia to developed Asia, although I don't think that developed Asia will do that badly. Developed Asia, Singapore, a terrific economic story there. It gets better all the time. Japan, still improving, but currently lagging and very much in its medium term, still in its medium term corrective phase. Korean market, I like that as well, but they're not in the pole position here as we come out of this medium-term correction. The emerging markets are doing considerably better, and those are led by Indonesia, the Philippines, terrific performance there, India, testing its high as well. Malaysia, testing its high. Those all look good. And so I do expect a lot of those. And I think that Europe will do reasonably well, probably outperform the United States, but the United States is not doing that badly in here at all. And in terms of one of my other favorite sectors for such a long period of time, which has been out of form recently, and that's not surprising given the huge gains that it had seen before going into that corrective phase starting in May, and that's the resources sectors. And they've been fairly heavily sold. They've done extremely well, so people grabbed profits there and kind of hoped that they would stay down on the basis that that might be better for everything else. Well, you'll notice some weekly key reversals in some of those top mining shares and funds, and we're getting some failed downward breaks, and I think the resources sector will do awfully well. If there's a question mark over it, it's maybe that they will possibly, and this is by no means certainty, so I'm not forecasting it, but if I have a concern about it, they may possibly underperform some of the other sectors here in the short term, but I think probably not, though, because this confidence is improving. I think people will go back to the resources with the phenomenal earnings potential that that they have, and the mines are the best of all, and the best mines are the industrial metal mines, and that would include well, that's everything from copper to uranium. Okay, so I do very much like those sectors. And government bonds, I feel that if we haven't seen all of the rally, we've certainly seen the lion's share of it, in terms of prices, that is. So, in other words, we've seen the lion's share of the decline in yields. I will be looking to short. Could probably commence now very, very lightly, although the evidence that these markets have peaked is tentative. But of course, it'll take some price erosion before we have more conclusive evidence. Now, in terms of the oil market, now let me go on to currencies. Currencies first. This has been the dullest area recently. Again, the main theme here is that no country, absolutely no country, wants a strong currency. And the currency strength is a little bit like the pass the parcel game. And when a country finds its currency has appreciated, they get alarmed, they start bleating, and then take aggressive action to prevent that currency from appreciating further. And then they relax for a while, and then lo and behold, a few months later, their currency is appreciating again, so they start bleating again. This process goes on and on and on, and mainly overall, there's just a lot of ranging. Now, quite a few people expect the dollar to collapse. I've never expected it to collapse. I do expect it to go back and test its 1990s lows. And that would be about 5 points lower on the US dollar index from the current level around 85. So I do look for that, but there are probably too many dollar bears for that to happen anytime soon. So that's probably not going to happen until next year. So a little bit of choppy ranging there overall. In terms of the commodities, it's a more interesting sector now. Oil. I said a couple of days ago that I felt that oil had bottomed, and I'd been saying before that that I thought that we'd see it bottom out in the low 60s to $60 level. And the technical evidence, I think, is growing to support that view. Now, I said that today was an interesting day because oil had closed, this is crude NYME, it had closed at 62.76 yesterday. Now it was struggling to hold that level earlier today. Then it sold off and it sold down to 61.45, but then started to recover and is currently up 15 cents at 62.91. And natural gas went down and then closed up on the day as well. Natural gas is dirt cheap here, but the ones that are showing the technical evidence of having bottomed are the gasoline, the heating oil, and the crude oil. Now, I don't expect a dramatic recovery at this stage for political reasons. That would be one factor. And I think it would take a catalyst, a clear catalyst, to cause prices to spike higher. And I don't think that's going to happen. And for instance, a lot of these contracts are U.S. market sensitive, and supply stockpiles are quite high. That does not argue for an explosive recovery upwards from the $60 level. The political factor is the November elections. The White House will do everything that it possibly can to keep oil down. I wouldn't be surprised if we found out at some stage that they'd released a little oil from their strategic reserves to help keep it down. But I have no particular insight on that. It's just that the political imperative here is strong, as I've mentioned before. So I expect a slow sort of ranging recovery. But I think this is the bottom of the market, and therefore I think it's the bottom of the market for the oil shares and the oil service equipment companies, the whole complex, in other words. And I maintain that oil is in a supply and elasticity meets rising demand, bull market, but the supply and elasticity is not as great as it is with the industrial metals right now, so they are the better bull market. They have been all along, and uranium is at the top of the pile there in terms of that overall bull market. Now you'll notice, and if you haven't, you'll see the charts that I've posted today, that the industrial metals haven't come down anywhere near as far as most people are forecasting. And so, in terms of valuations, I maintain that there is absolutely no sector of the market that is as cheap as these top mining companies right now. And I think that, as I've said before, what's happened is that the market, well, analysts have been really behind the curve all along on this. They didn't expect metals to rise so much. They expected supplies to increase faster than they have increased. Most of all, they didn't expect demand to remain so persistent. They have pretty well all said that it was a cyclical industry. Well, I think it's now a growth industry because we have this extraordinary and one-off period. In other words, I don't see this happening again in future centuries in all probability, but we have this extraordinary situation which is unprecedented globally, although people can go back to a couple of hundred years to the industrialization of Europe and so on, but that's nothing like what we're seeing today, and that is the previously moribund economies with huge populations led by China and India, of course, just growing at a tremendous rate as they all embrace capitalism, and this is creating this phenomenal demand for these metals, and the demand will run not for months or for a few years, but for decades. And this is going to be the mother of all industrial commodity bull markets. As far as the agricultural commodities will be concerned, a lot of that a lot of the potential will depend on weather factors, good growing conditions, and we'll see much smaller bull markets, but any crop disasters for whatever reason, and prices will soar. But agricultural prices that soar don't hold those gains. They won't go up and stay up. It just won't happen. Because the ability to produce more, find substitutes, and so on knocks them back down again. It's not so easy to produce more with the industrial metals, as you know, and they're not as easy to substitute either. Okay, so that's pretty much the main overall story as I see it. And it's been an exciting week. No doubt we'll have many more, but at this time, I just wish you the best of all possible weekends. Good night.